So, welcome, guys, to the Always Improvised podcast by Ben Percival and Matthew Wainwright. How are you guys doing? So, Ben, today's, I guess, discussion point is going to be around creating opportunity vehicles for your employees, for your team members, for your partners, as well as, I think, a really interesting concept that a guy called Steve Schwarzman, the founder of Blackstone, talks about, which is, you know, I guess it's going to cost you the same amount of time to go for the big goals as it is to go for the small goals. So, yeah, how to maybe project yourself and attract the right talent in order to go for or after the big goals, no?
Yeah. And it's the same way that trying to take on small businesses is the same work as taking on a big business. And if you're a CEO of a small business, you're going to be working the same amount of hours and a lot of the time doing the same kind of things as if you were running a big business. So what would you rather do? I mean, you'd rather be managing a big business than a small business.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. I think touching on the first point, which is, you know, being able to attract the right talent in order to achieve your goals and creating the right opportunity vehicles for that talent to participate in. I think what I found out is, like, you need A players, like, in your team. I think I've now got A players, like, literally in the office. We're just three right now. But, like, the three that are there in the office are, like, A stars. So they'll work out of hours. They'll always provide feedback. We'll look at points where we could potentially improve the company, points in which we could potentially go downwards as a company.
That's interesting. It's hard to find those people that are truly passionate about the job they're doing, because you won't find. I was on LinkedIn the other week, and there was this post, and someone had posted and said, "Should it be illegal for employees to contact you outside of working hours?" I mean, they actually said illegal, and There was a poll, and it was like 70% of people voted yes.
Really?
That it should be illegal, like. That, how crazy, just imagine that it's actually in law now. Well, not this is not what has happened, but this is what they wanted, the people of this poll, that in law it would be illegal for you to contact your employer, your employees outside of working hours.
Yeah.
I mean, how bad, that is just shockingly bad for productivity of companies.
Yeah.
Oh. And it's in the fact that so many employees think that it should be illegal to do that. It's just, it kind of puts into perspective what kind of state employees are in. They're not really if you're passionate about the job and if you really really like what you do, you don't really care if you're getting contacted outside of hours. If not, you like it, you're like, yeah, let's get on and do something, you know.
Look, I mean, it's been I've kind of experienced quite a few profiles already. I would say, you know, it is quite hard. In fact, the selection or the vetting process that we have within the company right now is very strict. So, like, say 100 applicants will go for our company, we'll only get one, right? So we really fill the pipeline or the funnel, sorry, and then from the select. I kind of, after experiencing it a bit, you never really know whether it's going to be like an A star until you start working with them. What I would say is, if you don't think they're going to be an A star when you hire them, they're probably not going to be an A star. That's what I would say.
I agree. I think you can tell straight away whether this person's got potential to be an A star employee. Not necessarily that they are an A star employee right now, but I think they will be at some point. I think you can tell that quite early on when you have a conversation with them.
100%. 100%. And talking about
how do you go about finding an A star?
Well, first of all, you don't find, well, you can find it, but you mostly attract them. So it's kind of like, you can only, normally you don't chase after success. You like attract success by the person you become. So first of all, you need to become like the company worth working for as an A star player, because they normally have quite a bit of opportunities, right? I would say that's number one. I guess number two, you have to become an A star yourself. Like, you need to become really good at what you do, or else you're not going to attract, because A-stars just want to work with A-stars, right? Because that's when they feel the most comfortable.
Exactly, yeah. And I think you can't convince an A-star person to take a mediocre job. So let's say you're a company and you're looking to hire an A-star person, you've got to kind of realise that unless what you're offering them is an A-star position, you're not going to get an A-star candidate.
Yeah.
It's just not how it's going to work.
Yeah.
And so actually when you get bigger as a company and you get more prestigious as a company, it's much easier to attract that A-star talent because more people are going to want to work for you. Whereas if you're a 50 million turnover business, you might attract some A-star employees, but if you're worth a billion, then it's going to be much easier to attract the real A-star talent.
Well, I think it depends. Like, it depends on how you like incentivize these people. So if you give them equity, maybe you're probably going to go further away or further with an A-star player. If you don't give like equity
You need to sell the story, I guess. You need to sell the fact that this is where you're going. So we're going from 50 million to a billion, and we want you to take us there. Then that's really interesting, and I think everyone will be excited about that.
Yeah, 100%. I think you need to be, in my opinion, in an industry or start having a track record that allows you to be able to have credibility when you say that. Because if it's like you're a startup, you haven't made $1, and you're saying, I'm going to become like the Amazon of, I don't know, software development. Well, good luck, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah, and then in regards to that, I think it's just as easy, just as hard, in fact, to go after, you know, the big opportunities as it is to go after the smaller ones. So I think if you've got a larger opportunity or a better opportunity vehicle, essentially, to go after, your ability to attract the right people is going to be a lot easier.
And so, I mean, the title of the podcast, How to Create Opportunity Java. So how would you say you've managed to create opportunity for your current employees, your A level employees?
So they know where we are as a company. So for the audience, we're averaging about one new acquisition every 21 days right now. So we want to improve that. We're only like a very small team, so I would say like full time, it's only four. Before getting like the new team members in. So what our proposal was, what we're looking to expand the team to about 12 people. We want you to be the heads of financial analysis, the head of legal, and we want you to grow within the company. I think what's really attractive within our company, at least for the audience, is that we are a company that acquires other companies, as opposed to, you know, maybe being like a marketing agency, which, you know, it's totally fine, but it's just different, right? So you're able to attract different people. And then if you are able to show a track record, and if you're able to, you know, showcase that, hey, it's worth being with you as a company through the first chats, I don't know, I think you just start attracting in a way. Yeah.
No, I think that makes sense. And you talked earlier about incentivization. So you said giving away equity. How do you incentivize managing directors? Do you give away equity or...?
Managing directors?
Yes, managing directors, key team members in the company.
So within the portfolio companies, the managing directors sometimes have equity, sometimes they don't, but they're definitely well compensated. Like, I would say, really high, five figures, six figures. That would be number one. Then sometimes they do have like a minority stake within the company in order to help it grow. So within the food and beverage sectors, we do have like the owners do have equity stakes in the companies. The current employees within Opulentia don't have an equity stake, but they do have a commission above and beyond what their salary is. So you know, they grow with the success of the company. As we grow, they grow.
I find that interesting because when you have, obviously we have a similar structure of portfolio companies, and when you have so many companies, giving away equity, it's almost like, well, he's got equity, but the overall group performance, they don't have a significant impact on the overall group. They can only manage their own one individual company.
Yep.
And so let's say the group performance wasn't in line with what we wanted, then the share, let's say it's a public company, the share price would be lower. The overall equity in the company wouldn't have that upside because other companies were performing poorly, but he was performing that well because he was in, he was doing very well. So what we've tended to do instead is focus on, is almost like a profit share on a performance-based bonus where they have certain targets we want them to hit. And obviously each company is very different. So they run differently, they are operated differently, they're in different industries. So there's not a blanket kind of policy we have for each company, but for each individual company we do have some kind of profit share so that the upside is there for the managing directors. What I don't like with giving away equity is that I don't think it incentivizes anyone, because what incentivizes people more is saying, if I can get to this level of profitability, I know for certain that I'm going to make this much money, this much more money on top of my salary. And they know that that's guaranteed. Shares, they're like, well, I can have shares, but when am I going to get exit from those shares? What if the share price is going up and down?
That's a great point. These kind of things. That's a really great point, actually.
And I learned that from Warren Buffett, because he always talks about how actually giving away equity is just not an effective way of motivating managing directors of his portfolio companies.
Yeah.
He has set up his own pay structure with them, and that's how it works best for us as well.
That's a great point. That's a really, really great point. I like that.
I think, and it helps because, right, let's say one business is making $1 million a year, and that's its baseline profitability, and we can see a potential to get to $2 million in the next 12 months, then if we do get to $2 million, then the guy who is pushing that in that direction, so the managing director and maybe the one guy underneath him, they have a profit share, so that if they get $2 million, they get a nice chunk, they get a massive bonus on top of their salary. So they're really incentivized for that 12 months to build the company. And it's not like they're working short term to do that, because that's going to follow on each year. I think that's one of the things that we've really liked and we've implemented, and we think it's worked really well, because there are very good, we do have very good managers, and their performance is very good, and it's nice to reward them for that, because otherwise they feel like, okay, maybe I get an increase in salary by 5 or 10%, but it's not really big for them. I mean, if they double the profitability of the company, then they should be rewarded for doing so.
That's really, really interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that's a better way of doing it, too. Yeah. That's a better way.
I think it is. Yeah. I was approached by someone the other week, actually, who wanted some advice on his company.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm a bit old now, I want to retire, but I want to give my company away to my employees. And I said, okay, well, let's talk about it. And he said, yeah, I'm going to just give away 50% of my shares to my employees. I said, well, why would you do that? And he's asked, so they're sort of motivated to run the business. Well, you know, if the business isn't worth that much in terms of share value anyway, and when there's no realization of those shares, then is there really any incentive there?
Yeah.
There's not. I mean, the incentive is only there when they can physically see that there's more cash coming in. So if they alter the profitability and then they have an additional bonus every 6 months or every year, then they know that cash is coming in and they can see the fruits of their labour, whereas the equity side of things doesn't necessarily work. Yeah. And I've been in a situation where giving away equity, I mean, I've not done it, but I've seen it, that people end up sitting back because they rely on other people and they think, oh, now I've got some equity, I can just sort of sit back, let the business run. Whenever they sell it, I'll take that that equity out.
Mm.
But actually, that's not good for the bigger shareholders, because they want to see the business performing.
Yep.
They want to see a real increase in growth, and that's where the profit share is just much more effective, in my opinion.
That makes sense. And how much of the profit share do you tend to share? How much of the profit do you tend to share?
Yes, good question. I mean, it depends on each company. Obviously, there's different metrics for each company we look at. But as an example, we might do a tiered increase. So we usually do it per quarter. So if each quarter of the baseline value, let's say it's $1 million, for example, the baseline value of 250,000 operating profit per quarter, if they do 250 to 300, then they get 5% of that increase. If they do 300 to 350, maybe get 7.5% of that increase.
Okay.
If they go from 350 to 400 in that quarter, they get 10%, something like that. So it's kind of tiered. And so the better they perform, the more their upside is.
That's really, really good. That's really good. That's really good.
And we don't mind, because, put it this way, if the business is going from $250,000 per quarter to $400,000 per quarter, and we're giving $30,000-$40,000 away to managing director, well, that doesn't bother us. There's still $100,000 left.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's more important is that we've retained our equity in the business, and our end goal is to IPO the business. So we've still got that equity, and the profitability in the company is still the same, and it's increasing, if anything. So our multiple and our equity from cashing out eventually was going to be much bigger than if we were to give away equity now.
That's really, really good. That's really good.
I think if you're listening and you do have a company and you think, I'm going to give away equity at the business, I just think it's not always the best way to do it. You want people motivated to stay in the business. Right, I get it. But giving away shares isn't necessarily the best way, I think. Just try and think of other ways that it can benefit both you and them, because sometimes people don't want equity because they're not really getting anything from it.
Yep.
Unless you're part of a public company and you know that you're going to get the payments at the end of the 12 months, or you can cash out or something like that. But even then, it's not as visible as sort of having, right, this is what I've done this year on profitability, so this is how much money I'm going to make extra. And for smaller companies, private companies, wherever you are in the world, don't be so open to giving away equity and thinking that it's going to change the attitude of your employees, because a lot of the time it doesn't. Mm. The best way to make it better for you is to give them more money through a profit share. They do better, you do better, and you both win.
Yep. That's very good. Very, very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
So, was there anything else you wanted to cover off? I mean, we talked about Steve Schwarzman earlier. What really kind of made me interested when I read his book about what he did was when he went out fundraising. I just thought it was incredible how having your aim set high just means that even if you come below those, you're still going to be substantially successful. So when he went out fundraising and he went to several different banks, he asked for money, and he was like, oh, I want to raise $1 billion. And he could get away with raising 250 million and still have a good fund there.
Yeah.
Well, he went out and asked from several people 100 million, 150 million.
Yeah.
And they said, all right, fine, you know. So it's like, if you don't aim big, you don't go big, then...
Yep, 100%.
You're leaving a lot on the table.
100%. So that's a wrap for today, guys. Luca, I think this is a really interesting podcast. Like, this has been, in my opinion, one of the top 5 podcasts that we've done out of the hundreds, joking, just the tens of podcasts that we've done. I think this is definitely top 5. Really powerful way of, like, incentivizing people. So
yeah.
If you think
great,
this will help anyone in your network, feel free to share it with them, and connect with us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, and so on.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Yep. Guys.
Cheers.